Hello and welcome to the Mission Darts podcast episode something, I forgot now. And
35, Matt, 35.
Nearly my age.
Yeah, it's not far off now, is it? It's not far off. It's going to be a big birthday for you soon. Yeah, episode 35. And
looking slightly different. I'm not in my bedroom. I'm not in the studio sat next to you. I'm in Cyprus. Look, I don't know if you can see. I'm sat on my balcony.
They got a bit of a view because I'm struggling to see you. I've got to be honest because of the sun. But I can certainly hear you. Got the headphones in, so it's all good. Couldn't miss out, could we? Couldn't let the fans down, Matt.
We can. Do you know when I was in Germany and it was a little bit stuttery? I think we're probably going to get that sort of view for you. But what it doesn't affect is the audio listeners. And to be fair, I'm sure the visual people don't want to see you anyway.
I'm sure they don't, Matt. Very shortly, I'm going to put my cap on because I can feel the sun belting down on the old bald spot there. So I've got to put the cap on soon. So, yeah, it won't affect our audio listeners. But, yeah, how are you?
Very busy, as you can imagine. I'm doing a week and a half on commentary straight. I mean, April, I'm at home for like a day. Like, I do a week and a half straight on commentary now. Then we do Rate My Hockey Series 4, which, by the way, Series 3 is coming to a close, unfortunately, very soon. From there, I'll go to WrestleMania. And then I come back and I do commentary for another 3 days straight. So it's like I'm not even at home for April. It's mad.
And let's touch on that. You know, let's get the people excited. Next week, we are going filming Series 4. And not only that, we're going to change one or two things yet again. As we've listened to our viewers. We've got a few of our own ideas. We're going to change things again. It's going to be even better.
We're going over the west side, around Wales and that sort of thing for Series 4. It's going to be exciting, Matt, as usual.
Well, one thing Rate My Hockey needs to be is it needs to be fresh and original because the concept will get boring very quickly if all we do is go in, yeah, look, there's a dartboard, oh, it's a bit mashed, 7 out of 10, you know, that sort of thing. So we need to keep it fresh. It's like the Premier League of darts. It gets boring if it doesn't evolve, and we need to evolve the programme. And for Series 4, for one series only, it's Matt versus Andy looking for your approval because while we're out there, what's going to be happening is I'm going to be scoring the venue and Andy is. So there's going to be two leaderboards. There's going to be two scoreboards. There's going to be Matt's version. There's going to be Andy's version. And your job is to decide who you agree with. Are you team Matt or are you team Andy? Now with that, it's not, I agree with Matt on scoreboard. I agree with Andy on hockey. No. You have to side with me or
you've got to take sides. You've got to take sides. And it should be very interesting because there's been a lot of love both sides lately. Even some of the harsher episodes from me, quite a lot of people have agreed. So that's going to be really, really interesting. And I'm glad we've started talking about darts this week, Matt, because having been on holiday, I've had lots of time with the iPad and I've been watching Pro Tours. And funny enough, I was listening out for you, but you weren't on Pro Tours this week. But I've been looking at Pro Tours and I've got loads and loads of things to say. I've got observations and I've got Andy rants. I've got some rants again this week. But some of the topics are ones that, again, you will be able to give a good insight into or an alternative opinion because it's all darts related. Everything I've got written down here, I start off with a couple of funnies. Callum Ridge's hair. Talk me through that, Matt. Could you rock that? The Elvis haircut?
I mean, this is as long as it gets for me. The thing is, because I'm going to Vegas next week, I don't want to cut it now and it just be on that point where it's gone past a fresh trim. So I'm leaving it as long as I can. I'm getting it cut tomorrow, so Friday. So then I've only got like 5 days until I go to Vegas. But what I didn't want to do is have it cut before. And then, it'll be nice and fresh for Rate My Hockey Series 4.
It will.
At the moment, like, this is too long for me. Look at that.
Yeah, like, I did exactly the same, like, before holidays. It's like, right, leave it as late as possible so it's nice for holidays, you know. Like, we've got that much hair to cut, you know. We really haven't. Are you a fan of the Elvis haircut there that he's rocking? I mean, I think he's doing it now because people are talking about it. I'm sure now that he's just gone, people are talking about me. I'm just going to keep going with it.
if that was me, if I was in Callum Ridder's situation and people was talking about it the way they are, I would probably, like I say, grow it out. I'd probably wear a wig. I'd probably dye it purple. You know,
just do something.
Whatever the thing is, if people are talking about you, it's doing well. Now, this is the thing that a lot of people get wrong. A lot of people think you have to be liked. You know, you don't have to be liked. You have to be interesting to the point where someone cares enough to, you know, whether someone dislikes what you do or they like what you do, if they have an opinion on what you do, you are successful. And with the tour, 128 players will take part. I don't care about 100 of them.
Yes.
And it's their job to make me interested in them. Because do you know what? And this is where I'm going to go deep and all into it here. Sometimes the story of your game is easy to tell because it's told for the reason of external. Because, oh, this is the World Match Play Final. This is to qualify for the World Championships. There's a story and a reason to do it. Sometimes there is no purpose other than what it means to you. And if people don't know what it means to you, if people can't relate with your story, they don't care about your game. Let's look at some fantastic dart players over time who our viewers probably won't even remember. Mark Walsh.
Oh, Walsh, yeah.
What a player.
Yeah.
What absolutely. A player.
Yeah.
Alan Tabban.
Yeah, again. Yeah.
We know these are players that was in the world's top 10. And I bet you, some of our older viewers are like, of course I remember them. Some of our younger viewers probably don't even remember the heritage of which they've left behind.
No, and they won't have left enough of a legacy for people to go, you know, like your Phil Taylors, your Eric Bristows, your John Lowes, your Jockey Wilsons have left something behind that even the young players now are like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, still buy his darts. Do you know what I mean? But, yeah, your Mark Walsh has disappeared and never to be seen or heard of again. So you're right. You're absolutely right. Talking of a legend. Sorry, Gunnar.
No, I was just saying, sparks a thought in your mind, doesn't it? Straight away, you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. And the thing is, if I go in now and I type in, let's have a look. I'm just going to do it now. Shows how unprepared I was for this conversation. 2015 World Darts Championship. And I bet you I'm going to read some names out in here where you'll be like, oh, I forgot he even existed. And what's that, 10 years ago? Let's have a look what we've got. I mean, Wes Newton was world number 13 at the time. Jamie Cavan, Andy Smith, the Pie Man, Stuart Kellett, Jamie Lewis, semi-finalist, Wayne Jones, Gian Artut. Oh, I think I've lost Andy.
Yeah.
Stuart Kellett.
Jeez. There's a blast in the past.
Wayne Jones.
Yeah. Well, a few people will know Wayne, I'm sure.
Benito Vanderpass.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Here's another one for you that you probably forgot about. One of the Germans' originals, Gian Artut.
Oh, yes. I can picture him. Good player. Really good player.
If I was to say to you, name me 50 German dart players, he would not be in your 50.
It wouldn't be me 10.
But, yeah, no, that just shows, doesn't it? That just shows, Matt. That just shows our time.
Dart players not enough.
Yeah, they need something about them, don't they? So talking about somebody that's got something about them that everybody knows, Barney. Now, we spoke, I'm sure, about 6 months ago in the podcast talking about Barney. And talking about when he won his world title and saying he used slim flights, and we got talking about how he won the bull up against Phil Taylor. He's gone back to him, Matt. He's gone back to slim flights. And I know you're a fan of slim flights.
I think if you can throw them, you can throw them. You know, I thrown, what, about 15 darts the other day, didn't I, when we were up at DC? And yeah. You could put these slim flights in, and within seconds, I could throw them again.
Yeah, amazing. I can't, don't worry for me, I can't throw them at all. But I thought that was quite interesting. And he looks like he's playing decent. So I've always thought about because I'm like you, because we're coaches, we watch actions all the time. We watch how the dart's landing all the time. And I've always thought with Barney, is he trying to understack or overstack? And I could never work it out. It's almost like he's doing both. So
that can be one of the things with a slim, as long as you're not getting it right in the middle of the bed. If you're going smack bang in the middle of the treble 20 wire, it gets a little bit awkward, so you've got to work around it. But if you're going left and right, it certainly keeps it open.
Yeah, yeah. So, moving on, one of the things I've learned this week about a player who's doing fantastic, Mike Dedeker, whose darts, I believe, are hitting the shelves sometime very soon, like really, really soon now.
20 seconds.
Is that what it is? Right, yeah. Okay. Yes, that's a week. Yeah.
12 days from now.
He's left-handed.
Okay.
If you watch him on the walk-on,
yep.
If you watch him on the walk-on, he signs his signature. Yeah, he's left-handed. It's not unusual, is it not? I actually thought it was. With it being a one-handed sport, like I understand people that play golf, they might be left-handed, but they play right-handed because it's a two-handed sport, same with tennis. But darts, I don't actually know anybody else who does it the opposite way around. Do you? Well, obviously you do, because you said it's not unusual, so there must be some.
Yeah, it's not. There are a couple of people that can play both hands. There's not many. Graham Usher springs to mind, who can play the same standard right and left-handed.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be great, Matt, wouldn't it? You know, a bit of needle in the middle of a game, and he's like, he needs double 16, just swaps hands. Like, you'd be like, whoa, I got a minute, mate.
Well, let's indulge with this for a minute, like from an actual thought pattern. Let's say you're throwing left-handed and you block the double 16, just change right-handed and play into it.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's such an advantage.
Big advantage.
You know what? When we talk about what's the next step for a dart player, what's the next big thing, I think it is a player who can play left and right-handed because it'll open up targets. Like double 16, blocked it up, go right, bosh. Perfect.
Yeah, Ronnie O'Sullivan, Matt, snooker. I don't know whether you watch snooker or not, but he plays the greatest player ever, they reckon. He can play both. He can do 100 breaks and play perfectly well, both hands, right-handed or left-handed. Amazing. Amazing
talent.
The next
development. I think that's what...
I think you're right.
The next big sort of story is going to be. We've done all the other stories.
Yeah, let me pose one to you there. Just while I was saying, you know, would that be seen as taking the mick a little bit? It probably would the first time somebody did it. And then they'd be like, oh, no, he plays both hands. He uses it to his advantage. Oh, right, okay. But I want your take on what I saw the other day. Luke Littler's playing Dylan Slevin, one of Mission's own, who beat him. He beat Littler, right? Now, I've not got the scores in front of me, but he was something... Dylan was something like 5-3 in front, something like that. So he needs one more leg to beat him. Luke Littler stops messing around how he's throwing his dart.
Yeah.
So instead of throwing his dart properly, starts throwing it like Phil Taylor.
Yeah.
So that it's landing. And he wasn't doing it. I was like, oh, is he struggling with his throw? So he's just trying something different. No, it was plain to see to me that he was taking the piss. That's all I can see. He was like, I don't really care anymore. I'm just going to mess about. Now, this is in a pro tour that's being streamed against another professional player. It won't be the first time or the last time it's ever happened. And I'm not singling him out. It sounds like I'm singling him out. I'm singling out more what happened rather than who it was. What's your take? Is that acceptable, or is there a level of etiquette in the game of darts that says, hang on a minute, mate, there's a time and place for that in an exhibition, not when you're trying to win a darts match? What's your take?
Okay, so I haven't seen the incident. I've seen Luke Littler do this before. I've seen him play a whole game like this before. When he used to come down to the Super Series, he used to do this quite regular, where he even just changes darts randomly in matches just because he gets almost bored. Let's do first of all the official stance. So the official stance would be this is a Pro Tour event played on the stream under DRA rules. Now, because of that, and with the streaming, there will be betting, which means integrity. and sporting integrity needs to be in play, which means the ruling of you need to perform to the best of your ability at all times needs to come into play. There's an argument there that Luke Littler doing that is not performing to the best of his ability because there is nothing there to suggest that that's his best performance. And actually, due to the result and the sudden change, that actually is not attempting to perform to the best of his ability, is attempting just to get the game over with. So there's that, which if that is a case, is a finable offence.
Okay.
That's the official stance. Now, personally, I think that's very extreme, but it could happen. I've seen fines for less. So it might even just be a warning, but maybe there's a potential DRA referral there on the basis of that. Now, like I say, I haven't seen the incident. I don't know how extreme it was, but there is a potential DRA issue there, yes.
Stroke by it from that angle. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, hang on, he's back. You sound like an absolute garlic then for a second.
Oh, that was weird. Yeah, so I hadn't thought about it from the betting angle. I hadn't thought that, obviously, somebody might have put money on Dylan Sleven to win 6-5, thinking, oh, I've got a right good chance here. And then almost Littler throws it away at 6-3. And so I hadn't thought about it from that angle. So it'd be interesting to see what, if anything, happens from that. So the second part of the question.
Well, just stay on there for a second. Before you get onto that, just think of it from the other way around. So let's say, for example, Luke Littler's 5-3 down. And all of a sudden, because he's 5-3 down, he's 2-1. And you go, I'm going to have a bit of 2-1. He's going to come back.
Yeah.
On you in play markets because they'll be in play betting. Let's say you're a serious gambler, you know, because there are professional gamblers out there. You're a professional. You see Luke Littler's 1-10, which is what he was to win that match. I know that. He was 1-10. That's a 10% return. And you think Luke Littler against Dylan Sleven, 10% return, happy days. That's my investment for the day. Because people look at betting as investments. It's not like me and you who go, right, let's have a fiver on football and pick 20 teams on a Saturday. Yeah. People see it as, oh, that's 10%. Right, okay. It's a stock market exchange betting is to them. And they'll see that as a safe investment. 10%, 1-10, I'll have a bit of that. That's better than a bank's going to give me, is what they do. And then you see that he loses in that way. That's where the issues potentially are.
Yeah, I think you're right. So my second part of that question to you was, ignoring the official lines, what do you feel? Is it acceptable for him to do whatever the hell he wants? Or as a player, would you be thinking, hang on a minute, mate, that's not good etiquette. Don't do stuff like that. What would you feel?
For me, personally, I just think everyone plays however they want. If you want to throw the game away, just crack on with it. I'll be the beneficiary of your stupidity. It is sort of my stance with it. It's like when you go and play poker. And you know, you're probably sat at the table and someone goes, oh, what are you playing that hand for? Because I want to. I put that money in. I'm playing the hand the way I want to play it. And it won. So stuff you know. Should I have gone all in on a pair of threes? Yeah. Because I thought I was going to win. So just because I caught you out, don't get in a hump. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you look at that and he should be able to play the way he wants in a sense. And it's only going to affect him. But speaking of etiquette, I've got one topic to discuss. I've actually brought a topic to the table. Okay. Did you see the European tour of Cameron Menzies, James Wade?
The European?
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of Menzies lately, and I think he was on my list to talk about. He is, actually, but I can't recall.
So he puts a hand out for a handshake at 5-5. James Wade refuses it and cracks on with playing.
I've seen James do that before.
Where do you stand on that? At 5-5, are you handshake or no handshake?
I'm fist bump, mate. I've shook your hand at the start of the game, mate, and said, have a good game today. I don't need to shake your hand again. If I'm offered a fist bump, okay, you know, good game, you know, whatever. I'm not a let's shake hands again.
I'm with James Wade.
Oh, you're nothing.
I'm nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, just carry on.
Go through the Pro Tour, right? You get to the board. Good to see you. Hope you're well. You have your practice darts. Before the bull up, handshake. You do the bull up. All the best. After the game, well played. Why do we need anything else? That's surely enough interaction.
Yeah. 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 The more I think about it, in a Pro Tour as well, I can sort of see it in a World Championship, four sets apiece. It's taking an hour and a half. You're like two warriors and there's one leg. Feels a bit more apt than 5-5, which must happen 200 times a day on the Pro Tour. There's that many 5-5s now. It's unbelievable. So I'm certainly not going to disagree with you on that. And certainly if I went to fist bump and you pulled away, I wouldn't be offended, or I'd just be like, oh, that's cool. He's not a bumper at the five hole, and just crack on, and it wouldn't bother me. How did Menzies react?
He did the handshake. So James, he had the hand out. James didn't do it, so he went and just did the, as if he was shaking someone's hand.
In the air, the pretend, yeah. There's a bit too much going on with Cam at the moment for me. He's in the headlines a bit too much. There's no questioning the guy's ability. He's won a Pro Tour this week again. Done really well in the other one. And I was going to ask you about this. Is he the next Wes Newton, Dave Chisnell? Unbelievable in Pro Tours, never wins a TV event. You know, those two come to mind because of how many Pro Tours they won, and they never won one TV event.
Let's put it this way then. We're going to get a little bit... We're not going to go deep psychological here. We're just going to skim over it. We're just going to call it energy. Cameron Menzies is a bag of energy. He's full of energy. He's bouncy. He's, you know what he's like. Now, in a Pro Tour environment, Cameron Menzies is in a room that lacks energy because there's no energy in there. There's no crowd. There's no celebrations. The muted celebration, but you can't audibly let any sort of celebration out, or you get fined because you're disturbing people on other sides. So there's that. Now, you've got all this energy. Now, when you are the energy in a quiet room, it's an easy place to be. But what happens when the room matches or has more energy than what you're injecting into it? There's a clash.
Yeah.
You can't be the buzzy blah, 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 in a room full of people that are buzzy, 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 and you're trying to be the concentrator one doing the task. So with that, I can imagine his brain, when you go in, there's like fireworks going off. Stuff everywhere. So it's almost as if, and this is so counterproductive, when the room has maximum energy, you need to be lower. You need to become. Think of football players. What they're doing, they're running around. They're the most active people. The fans are sat down eating a pie. But they've got that much energy that the mentality of the football player needs to be very right. We need to be the calm one in the room. And what there's an expression, isn't there? I wish I knew we would have this conversation because I'd have looked it up. But it's something like being the calm person in a room of chaos or something like what do you know?
Oh, yeah.
Can you keep your head
when all others around? Yeah, that's it. Keep your head when all others around you are losing theirs. Yeah. Yeah,
that's
very good.
What he needs to do. That's what he lacks. And when he works that out, he'll be what he should be.
Yeah, because there's no question in the ability. And that leads me on to another question for you, which was the day he won, there were three Scotsmen in the semi-finals. Gary Anderson, Peter Wright, and Cam Menzies. Has that ever happened before? I certainly couldn't think that it would have.
And one Dutch guy in Zonneveld.
Yes.
So
yeah, I mean, I, I can't imagine that we've had three Scots out of four players left in the tournament. I can't imagine that's happened. Be interesting. I know you like your stats. Be a good one for you that this week, going through the archives.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's happened. I certainly can't recall it at any point. So, but on the same aspect, I'm not really a patriotic guy. I'm not really one of these people that look at it and like, you know, I'm not really bothered where someone's from. I'm more bothered about what they're doing. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure we've obviously had three Englishmen. I'm sure we've had three Dutchmen. We
probably four. Maybe had to be fair.
Three Welshmen, possibly. I don't know. But it's an interesting one. It just came up because I was obviously it shows the flags when you're looking online and what have you. And I was like, oh wow, three out of the last four are all Scottish. That's pretty impressive. And on Cam went to win, which was phenomenal. Talking about one of the other Scotsmen there, Gary Anderson. Have you seen the averages he's been putting?
He's been doing it for 2 years now.
Where's this coming from, Matt, though? I mean, like. Surely he's got to be one of the favourites to win something big this year, the way he's playing.
I've been saying this for about 18 months, but it just doesn't happen for him on the TV stages. Gary Anderson's become a floor man. You know, when you look at like what he's been producing, it's incredible. You know, he's running over 100 average. And
again, a stat, Matt. But I'd love to see who's got the most 100-plus averages in Pro Tour this year. He's got to be up top two or three. Obviously, Littler comes to mind. But the other day, Anderson literally had 500-plus averages on the trot. You haven't got a stat that can tell us that, have you?
Might have.
Most 100-plus averages on the Pro Tour. I'd stick my neck out and I'd go Gary Anderson. It's like every time, and he's losing with 100 averages as well. You know, it's like, what, Gary, what on earth? Why all of a sudden?
It's nothing new when if you're watching Pro Tour darts. If you're used to watching Pro Tour darts, it's nothing surprising. But.
So the thing that
was. 97.95 for the season.
Yeah, but that's. I wasn't talking about overall average because you can have a couple of 80s and it drags it down, doesn't it? Well, just the most 100 pluses.
I don't know if it's the most, but let's see what he's had. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
I love it if somebody's just tuned in now halfway through and is listening to Matt count. That'd be just brilliant.
I forgot where I got to now. Hang on, let's
14
start again.
You were on, but...
No, I've lost where I was on the graph.
Well, I'll just chat away while you're doing it, Matt, because talking of Matt losing his way, you might have noticed, guys, this last week that there's not been as many replies to your comments as normal. That's because I'm obviously holidaying. Didn't want to not do the podcast for you guys, but I've certainly not been logging in and doing comments. But Matt doesn't get – he gets involved now and again with comments, but he's not the best speller in the world. I don't think there's a spell – I don't think there's a spell check they've invented yet, Matt, that can deal with you. You know,
like a spell check will go, oh, you've missed the Y out of there, or you've missed an I, or it looks at some of your words and goes – nah, I can't make anything of this, mate.
Sometimes it's not even bother.
Yeah, you'd be the first to admit. Did you manage to count up there?
No, I lost count again.
Oh. Oh, right, okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
When I refreshed the page, I forgot where I got to.
You forgot where you were up to. That's absolutely fine. Right, it's time for a couple of rants. It's time for a couple of rants that, again, I want your opinion on. I've seen too much of this first one. This first one's driving me flipping mad. Like I say, I've watched way more darts than normal. Sitting on a sunbed all day is boring. So you watch every game that you could possibly find. Hitting a 180 when you're on 182 just because your opponent's on the double. Oh, I'll get the referee to shout 180. And then the other guy just goes, "Bop, yeah, thanks, mate, yeah." I'm sick of it. I'm absolutely sick of it. And do you know what? The other day, I don't know who it was. I didn't make a note. But somebody did it, and the other guy missed. Now you're going back with two, and he busted first time. I was like, you absolute...
Like, there is no need. The commentators, you've been a commentator a long time. This used to be talked about in the past of, oh, will he hit the 180 to get the crowd and blah, blah, all this sort of thing. Will it affect the opponent? Yes or no. Now it doesn't affect them one iota, Matt. They've heard 180 shouted that many times. It doesn't affect them, does it?
I think in a crowd environment, there's a small argument or a small thing to say something, because what you'll do is the referee will start the 180 call, you'll approach Jockey, and then they'll cut it short. So the 180, what do you require? Because they've got to get that in before they get more. So the player approaching the Jockey will cut them off, but there's still sound, they're still listening. So there's a small percentage, not a lot, but a very small percentage. If you're doing it on the pro tour, I don't see the point, because the referee will just go 180. They don't call it, they don't bellow it, there's no reaction. So if it's not happening on the stage, I don't see any purpose whatsoever, unless you just love double one, unless you're an absolute nutter.
I've seen it two or three times on the Pro Tour this week. I'm like, what are you doing? On the chance that he misses three darts at a double, which happens probably more than people think, you're coming back to two. It's just nuts, Matt. It's absolute. So I'm like, please stop doing that. But it's not my big rant, Mothery. This is my big rant. And we've touched on this before, but players stopping mid-throw to ask what's left. Are you flipping kidding me? Right, I am not. The Euros last weekend, the Pro Tour that I've been watching, I did not know how many times it was happening. Now, we know there's some bad counters in the game, and I expect it from them time to time. I'm seeing it with players that can count. Hitting like, right, you have left 124. And they'll go like, so 120, let's say 128. So they're starting on 18s. And they'll slip into the treble four, right, that's 12. And then hit a treble 20. What's left? What's left now, mate? What's left? Like, are you bloody kidding me? Right, you're doing this for a living.
Now you're ruining your routine. You've spoiled your... invariably, they go, oh, there's 68 left, and they are flipping one, because they've totally lost their rhythm, Matt. It's my rant of the week. I'm bloody sick of it. You're a good counter, so I can't imagine you've done that too often.
I have, but deliberately.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. All right, then. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And this is where you may get like another point of view to it. So I'm playing someone who's playing really well. They're in a good rhythm, a good flow, and I've done something, and I've hit it, and then like I know that it's either a big shot I've got to get, like I've got to get treble double, or I just need to break the flow of the match, and I'm just like. Oh. What's that? Is that 18? Yeah. And then you stand there like, what's that? 86, isn't it? 86. And they'll go, yeah, 86. And you'll just stand back. You're right, 86. And then you'll come back and you go, no, it's 85, isn't it? It's 85. Are you sure?
Oh.
And you break the flow of the game. And then you go back.
So the other guy's still at the back. He needs 32 for the match or whatever it is. And he's thinking, I just want to get on with it.
I just want to put it in, and you're disrupting his flow.
I've done it twice.
Naughty.
I mean, and I can tell you now, I turned both games around and won them both.
Oh. All right, then. Well, let's...
And players knew exactly what I was doing, because at the I won the game 6-5, and he shook my hand, and he goes, well, slowed down at 5-3.
Right, so now then, let's get another good insight into this. A little bit naughty, get in the comments below.
Was that okay for Matthew to do that? I suppose there's a lot worse things he could have done.
But at what point does that go from a little bit of what you were trying to do to the referee? Does the referee have the authority to say, no, I'm not telling you anymore? Like, if you're doing
it every single... Like, say you're on 201, you hit treble 20. What's left, mate?
Is it 141? Yeah, 141, right. You're big 90. What's that lead now, mate? Is that 1-2? Yeah, 1-2-2, yeah. right? And then you throw your third dart, and then you come back again and you do it every single dart. Does the referee have the ability to go, hang on a minute, mate, you're taking the piss here. We're not doing this anymore.
There's always the rule in the rule book that the referee's decision is overruling of everything in the rule book. So they can step in on that. But the trick is it's not taking the mick with things like that, you know, and people will know when you're taking the mick. And I think the incident when I turned it around from 5-3 and won 6-5, I think that is because the person blatantly knew I was just taking the mick at that point. I mean,
and that's what you wanted him to think. Because now you've won. You've got in his head.
I wanted him to be annoyed. There was, I'll tell you another classic case, right, actually. So
they're all coming out now. Oh, this is a good episode now, Matt.
there was once an incident involving a shoelace, right? And the shoelace was untied. And walking around, mate, you need to tie your shoelace up. Right, okay, it's fine. Next minute, mate, you need to tie your shoelace up. Okay, didn't bother. Yeah. Next one. Will you stop and tie that shoelace up? You're going to fall over. And then end of the game, handshakes. Do you always leave your shoes untied? No. But while you were focused on my shoelace, you weren't bothered about the game. There's many things you can do in this game.
There is, isn't there? It's almost like the old, back in the old days, it was like, oh, pleased to meet you, Matt. Just tell me this. Do you hold your breath or breathe out when you throw? You know,
the old boys say that to you. Get you thinking about something completely different. But that's interesting, that. That's really interesting. It sort of borders, and we can talk about this a lot more, and I'm sure we will.
It's always, for me, are we bordering on crossing the etiquette line, or is it well within the rules? So, I mean, you know, we'll be talking about slow play forever and a day, probably, because I don't think they're ever going to bring a shot clock in. So we're always going to be saying there's nothing in the rules that says you've got to retrieve your darts quickly. You can take as long as you want.
I've got another one for you.
Oh, Christ. Let's have a drink of water.
I was playing in a quarterfinal against Adrian Lewis. I think it was my first quarterfinal on the tour. I ended up losing the game 6-5. I got to the board, so I was getting ready, preparing. Adrian Lewis used the full 10 minutes that we had. We had the 10 minutes before the time of the match started. He used the full 10 minutes. He arrived on the dot, right? Gets all his darts out, doing all his bits, right? Starts having a throw. After about 2-3 minutes of having a throw, I said, are you ready? He goes, yeah, do a shake hands. And you normally go about 9 from here, don't you? And he goes, I want 18 more. And he stands and throws 18 darts. Then we get on with the game. At the start of the game, I couldn't be arsed. I'd been throwing for that long. I'd lost the intensity. And the first couple of legs, he got ahead. And I think went 2 or 3 nil down. And it was like, oh, brilliant. Like now, like I've got to chase it. I got back, ended up losing 6-5 and last thing decider. But when you look at that and you think...
Was he flexing a bit, do you think? Was he saying, I'm the man here, I can do what I want?
But the rules have changed now because of incidences like that. So you've got your timeout rule, obviously, that if you turn up late, you get kicked out. But there's now a rule in place that once both players arrive at the board, you've got 9 darts and then it's in.
Ah, okay.
So once both players are there, it's 9 darts and you start. On the Pro Tour, I think they're a little bit more reluctant to enforce it. They might give you a couple of throws, then go 9 from here. But yeah, certainly in things like the UK Open, things like that, as soon as both players arrive, 9 darts to stop instances like that, because it started happening far too often.
It's just, funnily enough, brought something to my mind about a Pro Tour when I was playing, and I went to the board and it was off. Board was off. Like, it was so obviously off. I don't recall who I was playing. But I've said, oh, the referee, board's off. It needs to go that way a little bit. And he's asked the other guy, and the other guy's gone, no, it looks fine to me. Now, at that point, there's nothing you can do. I don't know whether that's changed now or what, but literally I was like, mate, you can see it's not a mil off, it's like 10 mil off, you know? It's like, and he's like, no, it looks fine to me, mate.
I'd have done now, the same.
Right, so this is the thing. What did I think about for the first 2-3 legs? I'm thinking the board's off. So even though he probably knew it was off as well, he's gone, well, I'm winning these first couple of legs because his head's mashed now that I've said no. So again, did he do it for that reason? You just said no, yeah.
I'd said no, yeah. Because in my mind, I'd think if I go 2-3 up, you're probably just going to walk off and throw your rattle out. Like, how am I supposed to play on this board? It's off. He's beating me now. The board's wrong. And, you know, have you ever had that before? Play a walk off in a game?
Oh, not mid game. No.
I've had it a few times. I've had it twice. Once on the Pro Tour, it happened to me.
Right. Wow. No, I've had somebody be that angry with themselves after the end of the game that they've kind of gone to shake my hand really aggressively. And I've had to go, whoa, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Don't say you're rushing out of me. You know, it was like a bit naughty, was that. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? The things that come back to you, the insights. And
I was playing in the K2 at Crawley. And I'd lost the opening leg. I was playing a seeded player at the time. Seeded player. I was 1-0 down. I won the next 5 legs. I took out 10+ checkouts in every single one of the 5 legs. He shook my hand and walked off. Didn't play the next leg.
That's one. Do you know what? So 10+ checkouts. That's one of my favorite ever games that I watched as a kid. And I've watched it back. You can find it on YouTube. Was the Masters that Bob Anderson won. I think he takes out 5 10+ checkouts in the last 6 legs or something like that. It's ridiculous. Mm. It's honestly, guys, look it up on YouTube. But Masters, Bob Anderson, well, I don't know what it's under, but that was incredible. But now I've never had anybody walk off. And that's just made me think of another thing, Matt. Is there anything somebody can say to you, and you've played a hell of a lot more games than I have, to make you feel better when you've got beat? Is there anything I can say, if I've just beaten you and you're absolutely mortified, you've been 5-0 up and I've done you 6-5, and I'm like, Matt, I'm so sorry, you battered me there, you deserved it, I've come back. But is there anything I can say that's going to make you feel better?
Do you know what? I can give you a really good answer to this. First of all, no, there's nothing. But second of all, toward the last couple of years, I think I lost that where I was almost okay with it. Like I'd lose a game, you'd be like, ugh.
Ah.
I weren't like, this is my life's over. You know, that sort of.
Yeah.
I think I lost that sort of unconsolable. Like there's a 10 minute window, isn't there? You do not speak to a player 10 minutes after they lost because you're not going to get any sense.
No.
Give them that 10 minutes, everyone's fine again. And everybody's like that on the tour. I didn't need that 10 minute window no more. It was like, oh, I've lost.
Mm. Wow.
And I recognized that after a while. And did you know what?
It didn't mean enough to you then, did it? It didn't mean enough to you then, Matt.
I got it back anymore. A little bit when I started doing the WDF tour. I'm not going to name the player. You're probably, if you look through the results, you'll figure out where it was. We was in an event and I lost to him in the last 16 on the Saturday. A decent player. But he's someone at the time I didn't feel I should be losing to. But, you know, he's in world championships. He actually is world champion, come think about it. But even in my head, I didn't think I should be losing to him. And I lost to him 4-3, missed darts. And I was raging. And I was like, for God's sake. I was moaning for about half an hour. And Zach was with me. And he goes, Matt, he goes, you're back to being you again. It's like, you peed off, you lost. He goes, this is good. And I'm like, no, I should never be losing to him. He goes, no, think about what's happening here. He's like, you're not letting it go. It's sticking with you. He goes, you care again. And I'm like, Oh, that's true. And moments after we saw him walk past, we sat in the cafe while we were having this conversation, and he walks past. And I'm like, oh, you must have done well, then you're out. And I start moaning at him. I started having a bit of rant at him, and he's like, what's his problem? Like, you know, so it was quite funny. And do you know the ironic thing? I then got to the semi-final the next day, and I played him in the semi-final.
No.
In the semi-final, and I beat him 4-0. So
wow, that has to be the most frustrating thing when a guy is, when you've come to play a guy, you think, I'm beating this guy. This guy's not got the mail to me. He's turned up. He's averaged 95. He's played the game of his flipping life and done you. And then, of course, next round he goes back to normal, averages 71, loses 4-0. You're like, the one game that he's ever played that well was again. There's nothing more annoying than that, Matt.
Yeah, I've had that a few times, especially in the old days of the UK Open qualifiers, if you remember those.
Yeah.
Mate,
I played in the UK Open. It was best of seven on stage. Best of seven.
2012?
Yeah, Bowles beat me 4-3 on stage. It was so quick, that. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I was just thinking then, how did you do anything to yourself? Like, so after you've got beat, and obviously some defeats are worse than others for obvious reasons. Have you ever been all right, I'm going to punch myself in the arm, or I'm going to go slap my thigh, or I'm going to stick my head under a tap, or I'm just going to go get really drunk, or, you know, did you react in a way, or did you just like go and sit in a corner and sulk for half an hour?
Yeah, I was a bit more of a sulker, and my sort of final act was when I got back to the hotel, I'd take my shirt off, I would throw it against the wall, I would say, effing game,
yeah.
And my shirt would stay there until it was time to go, and I'd pack it back up in the case, so it would just be on a little pile on the floor, and that was it. And it was quite funny, because when I used to share with Ryan Searle, he was the same, so we used to have like a little pile of shirts like in the corner.
That's brilliant. I love that. So mine's kind of still true to this day, and I don't know why I started doing this, but I was like, right, gotta stop. If I get beat, I'm gonna punish myself. So, you know, I like a drink, and so what I would do is, and this is Super League, this is Pro Tour, whatever darts I'm playing, as soon as I get beat, you're not allowed another drink. That is it. You are finished for the day. You're on water for the rest of the day. No matter how much you're in the mood, no matter how much your mates are around you, the minute you get beat, no more drink. And literally, I've done that for the past 15 years. It's my kind of, right, you're going to punish yourself now, Cornwall, for playing like that. So you are not allowed another alcoholic drink. Yeah, so that was my kind of thing. But I'm sure, get in the comments, I'm sure, I've seen people put hands through walls, which isn't a fair. I don't want comments like that. But get in the comments. And do you have any kind of weird, quirky thing that you do if you've got beat? Are you like straight out the venue? Or are you like, you got another?
I've got two stories. And these can be quite good ones to end on before I need to go for a dump. So,
thanks for telling us that. Yeah.
Yeah. The first one was a local guy to me called Lee Swain. We used to play in a league called the Southam League, which is about 10, 12 miles away from Daventry. It's a Monday night, and we've gone over and we're playing the Southam Football Club. And he's gone on and he's lost. And he never really lost. He was far too good for the level, but he lost. And when it was time to go home, like all night he was sulking. Like, I can't believe I lost. I can't believe I lost. And to be fair, he lost to a player like not many people do. And he's gone. And we've gone to leave. And he's like, no, I'm not coming. We're like, what do you mean you're not coming? I've got to go home because I'm going to walk. Because I've got to punish myself. We're like, Lee, it's raining. And it's like 10 miles. Like, just get in the car. He's like, nope. And he did. He walked home.
Really?
In the rain. And this was before the days of like WhatsApps and text messages as such. We had phones, but you know, the culture wasn't you need to text everybody 24/7. Not everyone were 24 accessible. The culture was you had a phone. if you needed to get hold of someone, you know, so and you had to like press A 7 times to get to like the B letter, you know. So we didn't really see it till next week. We're like, what time did you get in? It's like, oh, I got in at like 3 o'clock, you know.
Walked all the way home.
Yeah. And the other one, going back to the story you just said there, I've spoke before about my granddad being very good in the 60s. Got to Alexandra Palace, News of the World quarterfinalist. And what made him so good is because we came from an area in the family. We're a little mining village in Doncaster called Rosington. And we didn't really have, as a family, we didn't really have a lot of money. So what used to happen is once a week, my granddad would go down to the station, which was at the end of the road, which was the pub, and he'd go to the station and he'd have enough money for a bag of pork scratchings, which he'd bring back from my nan, and one pint. And the rule was, when you played, if you lost, you bought half for the person who beat you. And then you go around and you have to put your name up, you go up and mark and things. So he had enough for his pint, he had enough for when he lost to be able to buy half of somebody else and pork crush. So if he went out and he lost, he went out for very long because he couldn't afford to stay out. So the only way he was having a night out was by winning games of darts.
I love that.
He ended up getting really bloody good at it.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? You would if your only way to get another pint was to... I love that story, man. The only way I can have another pint is if I win this game. I mean, that's pressure. Forget playing for your £1 million at the Ali Pally. You can stick that. I'll tell you what, playing, knowing that you can't have another pint if you get beat, that's pressure.
After you've had a win down the pits, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I love that story. And that is a great way to end, Matt. It really is. So thank you for dialing me in at Cyprus. Next week's podcast, we may well be sat side by side because we'll be out on the road, Matt. So maybe we'll do a side by side podcast, which would be lovely. Cyprus this week, Wales next week. Whatever next, mate. Whatever next. Great as always. Good to see you.
You've got a problem with Portsmouth, where I am right this second. Wales with no gap between the two. Vegas with no gap between the two, and then straight back to Portsmouth again. At some point, I'll have to go to Daventry because I kind of need to get home. So,
So,
great way to end.
It is, mate. I'll catch you soon. Take care. See you.